Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with you. Look, folks, we're talking about college. Is the current college structure and curriculum working for us? And I say us as whole, us. And considering that we have another generation of folks that are going into college or leaving college, should we have some very real conversations about reform? And this is where they call the anti-college movement comes into play, because there are a group of small state colleges and colleges that are working to shift and change the culture on how students are having their college experiences. These schools, such as Evergreen State College, founded in Olympia, Washington, Kestrel College at the University of California, Santa Cruz, the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, and you have Deep Springs College, small schools that are focused on not just, you know, getting you ready for the normal tradition of reading, writing, and arithmetic. But these schools are combining an interest in Eastern spirituality. They're pushing back on the Judeo-Christian theology, not Christianity, but the interpretation of Christian principles that leads to materialism. I don't know how you have a Christian theology, but then it's still materialism. There's still capitalism that is in existence. But these schools are combining an interest in Eastern spirituality with the principles of humanistic psychology and what they call the human potential movement, which emphasizes that the goodness in all human beings and their gift for self-actualization. I want to throw something else just before we get back out there into the through the phone line. So Mel, you're up next. But one of the things that these schools are doing, and this one young lady, she talks about this. She talks about the fact, this is a young woman by the name of Laura Marcus, who was an overachieving high school student in Indiana. And then when she read about Deep Springs College, she became enthralled because she said, quote unquote, "So much of the effort I was putting forth was only to polish my own GPA and resume. I was staring down the barrel of a college education that seemed to be a continuation of the same mold. I felt jaded." She felt jaded. And I also think that we are coming into a space of getting out of the idea of meritocracy, that we just look at achievement and accomplishment as the basis of a person's value or as the basis of someone's worth. That what you do is all of who you are. For example, in Deep Springs College, it's tuition-free, highly selective two-year liberal arts college and working ranch near Death Valley in California. They combine an intense study, manual labor, and intimate community to give students, quote, "a sense of the purpose of education, not just being for oneself, but for something larger than one's self." We get into a place, folks, where college experiences, and I think, again, I said this at the beginning of the conversation, consciousness is rising up. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you recognize it or not, people are becoming more and more conscious of the various systems that are in place that have become very oppressive systems of thought, of finance, of education, of healthcare, all of these systems, right? And they are looking for a way out. Folks are screaming out for freedom. Laura Marcus made this point in this New York Times piece. She said, "There is a deep-seated human desire to feel you're part of something bigger than yourself. And one of the problems of liberal modernity is that it doesn't give you a whole lot beyond the self to subsume yourself in. That gives secular institutions like ours, Deep Springs College, a little bit of a question mark about what that grounding vision is going to be. People are yearning for some level of self-fulfillment beyond materialism, beyond getting a good job and then 401k. And I think we should have at least a conversation about it, because as I was talking to the students, you can't just tell young people to go to college and then not be a part of something bigger than themselves. Dr. King said it in his speech, where he said that one of the three things about finding a blueprint for your life is, one, for you to find your self-worth and dignity. But then he said another thing is to get involved in the struggle for justice, beauty, and love, to see the humanity in other people. How do you combine these things? Yes, we need to make money, but at the same time, we should not make money at the expense of losing ourselves or losing those around us. Let's go back to the line. Mel, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Hey, Faraji, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. You know, Faraji, when I got out of high school, I got out of Frederick Douglass High School in 77, okay?
Okay.
And I joined the Navy. By October, I was in the Navy. Many of the folks in my school went over to Morgan State and other colleges. Back then, when you had a college degree, you were guaranteed a job, okay? Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah. When you had a college degree, you were guaranteed a job. But after I came back out now, I got my associate's, my bachelor's, and my master's. I completed grad school. Okay?
Yeah.
And I started recruiting students for grad school. And so many of the students came to me that they only needed like a 2.5 GPA to qualify. Okay. Would you believe many of them didn't even have that?
I can believe it. No, yeah. I can't believe that, Mel. I've seen transcripts of students literally in Baltimore City that have 1.9 GPA in high school.
Yes. And you know, so many of them came out. They got in a position where they really didn't have the education to manage these people. They got supervisory positions just because they had a degree.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't compare. Yeah, you can't compare yourself with a Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. Those guys were actually in Harvard. They dropped out of Harvard. So they're already Ivy League material, you know?
Well, here's the thing. They weren't necessarily Ivy League material as much as they put themselves and they were placed in opportunities to have certain opportunities.
Both.
You know
both.
What I'm saying? Okay. Yeah. I got you. Hey, Mel.
Yeah, opportunities. Yeah, but the thing is, everything is not for everybody. You know,
are you saying that we should change it? Like that at this point, we really should have a real conversation about college reform.
But the college I went to, they did a lot of social change. So every subject that you took included social change.
Gotcha.
Actually, how would you implement this in real life?
There
was a lot of group projects. So when you get out there in the real life and start working with people, how do you actually work with people, you know?
Absolutely.
How do you do projects together, like project management? So, I'm grateful for what I learned, you know, and I'm happy with what I learned. But I'm saying it's not everybody has to go to college. Because
no, you're right.
Some people that are very good with their hands, you know, they're very good with construction. They're very good in different things. So they should explore those things too, you know. So there's no one silver bullet. But I believe in education. I came from the island. I've been in this country 45 years. I believe in education.
And Mel, I got to stop you right there. I got to stop you just for time purposes. But I believe in education too. But it's now, the question should be, well, how is education being expressed and experienced and interpreted? Let's go to Ayana and then my new caller, Gustavo. Ayana, what's your take? Thank you for checking in.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm on the road.
Yes, ma'am.
I've had a lot of time to think about everything that you talked about. And I think the whole basis of this new, like, reform offer the students the opportunity to really engage and really, I guess, research what it is that they truly desire and what it is that they truly want out of life. ultimately, at the end of their journey, they do end up realizing what it is that they're passionate, because my sister goes to a school that's kind of structured like that. It's a private liberal arts college in upstate, like, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And they have evaluations at the end of the year. They don't have a grading scale. She's able to really, like, formulate her own major through whatever it is that interests her. And through that, she's really been able to, like, understand what her calling is on her life. And so for people to have been, I mean, I've been listening like for the last 45 minutes, and everything I hear is, oh, well, you know, not to say anything about liberal arts degrees, but they don't make money, or that, well, I mean, that's not the point why people decide that they want to, like, fulfill their lives doing, because I have two music degrees, and my point for getting two music degrees is not because I'm looking to make this, like, substantial, this existential amount of money,
mm-hmm.
because I don't want capitalism to drive my life and my happiness.
Mm.
I want to make music, and I want to heal people, and through that, I will have everything that I need, because ultimately, I am my own business, and so people will pay me for what it is that I'm bringing to the table, but in return, they are also receiving, like, something from me, which is, like, happiness and contentment and a reason to, like, you know, not think about what it is that they're doing. And so, yeah.
No, Ayanna, I love it. I love the fact that you say you don't want capitalism to drive your life choices, which
yeah,
I think is big. Because, unfortunately,
yeah.
guess what? We're part of a society, and that's what happens.
We are.
And exactly. and as much as we want to say to ourselves, oh, I'm not money-oriented.
That's literally what everybody has been saying. Oh, well, I decided that I needed to get an IT degree because my social work degree or my sociology degree wasn't working for me. But I just don't think that people take enough time to really, like, really dive deep into what it is that's going to drive them to do the work.
Yeah, that's right.
In the community and do the work in this country to, like, really break down these systems. And ultimately, that is what will, you know, I guess, give you, you know, the necessities that you need. But also, ultimately, a lot of times, like, people who do that work, they do have really nice lives, you know. They end up having homes and things like that. But that's not at the forefront of their mind.
Right.
The passion behind it is what's going to find you the job.
Ayanna, I think you and I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for checking in. And I think Ayanna is speaking about impact. Let's go to Gustavo, new caller. It's Gustavo, Travis, then Brother Derek. Gustavo, what's your take on it?
Hi, good evening, Faraji. How are you?
I'm good, Gustavo. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Great topic. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yes. I just want to let you know, I'm going to try to stay unbiased. I've been working in higher education for about close to 15 years, both at the community college and a four-year university here in Maryland. And I just want to give more options. I'm glad you're bringing up this topic. I think the folks need to research these universities and colleges that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Make sure they have the right accreditation, because it could be a really good experience, but in case they ever want to get a job, they could be looking for a bachelor's degree from a regionally accredited institution,
mm-hmm.
and not all institutions have that. And I just also want to remind people about the community college option. It's not just for STEM degrees and liberal arts degrees. They also have shorter credit certificates in health and shorter fields that are also covered by financial aid. And the state of Maryland has the Maryland Community College Promise, which is for low-income students. And basically, they're encouraging students to go for the first 2 years to community college so they don't have to go in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the state will pay for their tuition so they don't have to get into loans. And there's also the Baltimore City Mayor's Promise as well, which is a very similar program. And the Baltimore County also has a similar program as well for the community colleges. So just keep in mind these options that are also in the community colleges. There are trades, there are shorter programs at the community colleges, and students don't need to go out of state and, rack up a lot of expenses living out of state.
Hey, Gustavo, give me your take on this. Since you've been working in higher ed, some folks feel like higher ed has become more of a business, that you got like key performance indicators, you have, you know, administrators and salaries, that has become more of a business platform, and that has essentially detached from the student experience. What's your take on those who feel like that's the case with our current college structure and system?
I believe some of that. It is very bureaucratical, and, you know, we are a business. Without students, you know, we can't, you know, we have to fill up a classroom to get up a professor, and then all that racks up as well.
Do you think that if we look at students and human beings, if we looked at human beings from that vantage point of being a quote unquote, I don't want to use the term property, but as a sense of as a means to an end, versus rather than the student is the end, the cultivation, the development of a student is the end.
All right.
You know what I mean? All right. So how do we reconcile that? Those two realities?
Yes, sir. Great question. So there's a lot of support services and programming already established in the community colleges and definitely in the four-year universities, as you already know. And the students, the other thing is that it's the responsibility of the student to advocate, ask questions, and ask for help, and ask for more services. We have to respond to the students. You know, so there are customers, basically. So if a customer says, hey, we want this, we want this, we want to go here, we want these services, we have to respond, and the students need to get together and, you know, advocate for themselves, be part of these events, so that way there is more services that support them.
Yeah.
At the community college, there's, for example, the Male Student Initiative that we have at CCBC, supporting black and brown students, males. So there's support out there. They need to seek it out so that way they can succeed. We want these students to succeed. We want them to develop as young professionals. But it's definitely up to also the student and finding somebody at the institution that is willing to help. You know, that professor, that advisor, that coach that says, you know what, I'm going to support you. If I don't know the answers, I'm gonna find out who does.
Yeah.
And that's how they need to network.
There it is.
I think that's part of a development.
Hey, Gustavo, thank you so much for being another one of our new callers and checking in, giving us some good resources for us to consider, folks, that it does not have to be the traditional route. Travis, then Brother Derek, then Marvin. Travis, what's your take?
Yes, good evening, Faraji.
Good evening, Travis.
I've been working in adult education for a while,
uh-huh.
And what I encourage my students to do is go to a community college, get a certificate, associate's degree, and then transfer over to a four-year college,
mm-hmm.
And that will decrease the cost. I also tell my students that if they want to become a doctor, that they necessarily don't have to go to medical school, that they can go become a nurse practitioner.
Okay.
After they get their bachelor's degree, they can go get their master's in nursing, family practitioner to become in the field of becoming a doctor. Because mm-hmm. All you got to do is go get your doctorate degree in nurse practice, and everybody will call you a doctor. I also wanted to say, too, everyone can go to college. It's affordable. Especially with the mayor's, Mayor Pugh's free community college opportunity for all high school students.
Yeah, that definitely is a good program. It has a limited number.
Yeah, it has a limited number
of students that can apply for the program. But I think it shouldn't. It shouldn't. I don't know, and you know, we'll see how this. It hasn't certainly been abolished yet or anything like that.
But you also have the Pell Grant that will allow you to get a certificate, associate's degree from a community college, and then you can go to a four-year college.
Yeah.
I don't recommend people go out of town to a college, because that's how you're going to rack up. Because if the in-state tuition is $200, how much do you think the out-of-state student tuition is going to be?
Gotcha.
For $450.
Gotcha.
So why not just stay in Baltimore, go to Morgan, Coppin, Bowie, or something like that.
But you know what? And I got to let you go, Travis. As always, it's good to hear from you, brother. Long time no hear. But the thing is, it's like, you know, and I understand this, and this is the part of the challenge that the city has to do. The city should do its part to make sure these in-state colleges have the benefits that will attract city residents. I know Morgan has done a ton of work in making sure that, you know, there are those incentives that are in place to ensure that those young people that come from Baltimore City Public Schools or Baltimore County Schools or whatever in the state of Maryland is able to really take advantage of being here at Morgan. But the city should do more for that. Brother Derek and Marvin. Brother Derek, what's your take?
How you feel, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, look, real quick. Man, the question, I believe, was the educational system, the college educational system, working for us?
Yes.
I believe it was.
Yep.
Well, in my opinion, Brother Faraji, I mean, college is a tool, and it's not. It hasn't been explained to us like that. But it's a tool to other avenues in life to open up other doors. But the thing that we're lacking in our community is that we look at college, but we don't look at it as a means to creating something for ourselves. That's why we get the education. We move out of our communities. We're not encouraged to build in our communities, to come out of these universities and create jobs for ourselves. Don't forget, no one's hitting on the element of creating the job instead of going to try to find a job for someone to give us a job. You go to school to come out, to create something in your community and for yourself and kind.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that should be now, but everybody, but Brother Derek, you know, everybody can't be an entrepreneur.
Right, right. You're right. But
you know what I'm saying?
Because these things aren't being encouraged.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, everybody, somebody's got to work for somebody. Right?
But this is not how everyone else is looking at it, though, for us. This is not how the Asian community, the Jewish community is looking at it. They're not looking at it like, oh, somebody got to work for somebody. Their first goal and objective is to build for themselves.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't know. I get it. I totally get it. I don't want us to, and I want us to keep in mind that there are some skills where you need to be working for yourself. Like, for example, if you are in IT, you know what I mean? Like, okay. If you're doing IT work, you might actually need to work for a company that's going to allow you to do that. If you work for a telecommunications company, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's not a bad thing as an IT specialist. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%. I'm not knocking that.
So I just don't want those messages. My thing is, I don't want to get those messages mixed. That people
we don't have to do that. We explain it and be crystal clear about what we mean.
Yeah.
Everyone else is using college as a tool to propel themselves and their kind forward. And we're job hunting, sir.
I like it. Brother Derek, appreciate you. All right, Marvin, we're going to get to you right after we take our final pause for the night. Then I got my sisters, my ladies, Dawn from Baltimore, Ebony from Baltimore. Also, I want to share with you just some of the comments from my Facebook page. But folks, I'm just asking the question because it's that time of year. Is college structure and curriculum really working? Are we moving in the right direction with education? There's this anti-college movement that's emerging. Folks are saying that liberal arts needs to be taken to the next level. More importantly, that young people cannot just stay career-oriented, money-oriented. There has to be some level of morality, some spirituality, some non-tangible things that has to be included in the college experience. Do you agree? Hit me up, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, and stay riding with me. Whole lot is coming up on the award-winning For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice, the absolute voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture. I do this for my culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Yes, yes, yes. I'm still high on the fact that we're doing some big things. Big shout out to the Chesapeake Associated Press for showing some recognition of WEAA. Big shout out. Yes, yes, yes. All right, we're talking about college. Is the Caring College structure and curriculum really working for us? Should we have some very real questions about or real conversations about college? And are we moving in the right direction with education, especially on a higher level education? Sean checked in on my Facebook page and said, both of my kids went to college. However, paying back student loans has some people in debt before life began. And Sean, I do not understand how you get into debt before your life began, because I think you're absolutely right. But just think about that whole system. Like, you go to college to better yourself, to better your community, supposedly, right? To do some great things for the world. But then you already are put into this cage called debt. And it doesn't seem to be stopping. And this is part of the, you know, this larger system that we are part of, where money is driving education instead of education driving people. You see how I worked that out? Money is driving education. I would not be surprised if they put colleges on the stock market, Alex. Can you imagine them putting colleges on the stock market? I wouldn't be surprised if at some point colleges start to show up on the stock market. I would not be surprised. Because capitalism, and I think we talked about this, that level of capitalism, I would not be surprised. So you're right, Sean. Absolutely right. Melissa checked in and said, look, during my high school days, graduated in 1976, it was go to college, get a good education, and a good job. We know now that life doesn't happen like that. What I will say is college, for me, provided several degrees, but also a friendly, quote-unquote, environment, or should I say an extension of what my parents wanted for me. College provided knowledge, guidance, support, and other experiences, you know. Smiley face, yeah. The career came along, smiley face. Now to social media, a lot of information is at our fingertips, and I think change is good. But generally speaking, no, we're not ready to say we don't need a college education, not in some of our communities anyway. I don't think this conversation, and Melissa, you funny as all outdoors. I don't think that this conversation is about not having college at all. I think it's talking about how do we redefine the college experience so that we produce a more well-rounded, balanced citizen. That's what I think this conversation is about. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let me hear from Don, and then we hear from Ebony, then Marvin. Don, what's your take on this? Thank you for checking in. Don? Oh, we lost Don. Don, give us a call back. Marvin, what's your take? Marvin?
Yes. Hey, Doc, how are you? Education. That's what I'm going to, you know how I like to start that off. But what I will say is education is the key to success. And there's many avenues you can take, or I should say pathways.
Mm-hmm.
In the community college sense, you can go to community college, get a trade, and use that trade to pay for your education, right? So, you know, some folks can go get a barbering degree or a certification or get a certification in whatever field, and use that to offset the cost. So I say, as it relates to college, everyone, there's a place in college for everybody, even if it's just a trade school.
Yeah.
But we need to always think about continuing our education. If it's to get a
insurance
license or whatever we want to do.
I agree.
We need to know that high school alone is not going to give us that livable wages. And so my dissertation is on the social stratification of the working class and how STEM impacts that. And one of the things I say with the working class is that the more training we receive, the better our odds will be for us to obtain a livable wage and for us to be able to afford the things that we need. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Come on. Is this Dr. Marvin Perry?
You know how to take the wisdom.
Hey, Dr. Marvin Perry, great professor here at Morgan State University. It's always good to have you, man, to bring you some level of context. Marvin, you, Dr. Perry, you always in it. Thank you so much. Ebony, what's your take on this, man?
You know what? I was really trying my hardest not to get in on this conversation. I listen.
Why
to
do you try not to get on the conversation, Ebony?
I have to chime in here because I feel like a lot of these callers are older. I'm 31 years old.
All right, hit me up. Come on, millennial.
I went to the University of Maryland College Park.
Yes.
And I had grandparents who preached to me the idea, if you go to college, you can get any job you want.
Opportunities will fly open.
That is not correct. I was, too, a communication major. I heard the lady speak earlier about her son.
Yeah.
And this conversation is really something that we can bring to the forefront for older people to really listen to our perspective, the people that are going through not being able to get those jobs. People are experiencing these debts, like you said, as soon as you're starting off. I went to Maryland, and I went through the Academic Achievement Program, which is the program for lower-income, first-generation college graduates. I still had to take out school loans.
How much debt Maryland you got right now, Ebony?
Well, praise the Lord that I'm really responsible. I only got $2,500 left.
Oh, $2,500. Hey, Dre, can we give Ebony a round of applause for having a realistic debt?
Yes.
Hey, look, check this out. Anytime your debt is $2,000, whatever it is, life is good.
Life is okay, but the reality of it is that's not going to help me when I'm making only $47,000 and I have this degree. And I have a six-year-old I have to take care of. Daycare loan is $280.
Oh, yeah, daycare loan. Oh, yeah. I know it. I know the struggle, Ebony. God.
You know what I mean?
I know the struggle.
So it's like you can't preach that to me, especially when you don't have schools like the benefits of an HBCU. Maryland did not require us to take internships. I had to do that on my own. And when I came to, I had nobody to preach to me the importance of an internship to get your foot in the door. So my last year in college was 2010. Back then, Google wasn't so restricted. So I was able to find someone's information online that worked at Sony in New York at the record company because I wanted to possibly get into being an A&R.
Yeah.
And so she actually transferred me to someone who actually worked in human resources, and they told me come up for an interview. And when I was in there with that man in human resources and he looked at my resume, he said to me, well, why should we pick you when we have all these other applicants from schools like the Clive Davis School of Music? And even though I was doing music down here, that wasn't enough for them. It's so competitive out here that I feel like if I would have had more real-world experiences before they start putting stipulations on things like you got to get college credit in order to intern. Why? What if you don't accept the fact that I would like to work for free to get my foot in the door? That's not good enough.
Mm-mm.
Like, these are the things and challenges that we face that older generations aren't aware of. I'm not saying no to trades. Trades, awesome. But when it comes to the idea of just going to school because it's going to open doors, that's not always the correct narrative.
So I like this, Ebony. I really like this a lot. All right, so if we're not saying that to the narratives, what is a realistic goal that we should have for the next generation? What would you tell a high school student right now about higher education?
I think Taraji P. Henson did it the right way. Even though she was who she was, what she said is, when my son graduated from high school, he did not know what he wanted to do. And so I didn't just want him to go to school and then choose something once he got there. You know, you take the prerequisites, you figure out what you qualify,
mm-hmm.
what you qualify to apply to, and then you go ahead and take that major. She said, I told him, you know what, if you're not ready yet, sit out and figure it out. And within a year's time, because school is way, you're so consumed in high school, you're consumed about with the life of prom and
mm-hmm.
basketball games and this, but you don't really have time to really analyze the real world. So I would not push children into just going to college because, oh, they don't have anything to do. Give them some time to figure it out. That's another thing we have to stop doing in the black community, that when you turn 18, you're an adult, get out my house. When you have so many of our white counterparts who allow their children to stay there until they are able to be in a dual-income family.
Mm.
Once they have two incomes, then they're able to survive. This world was set up for two people, let's be real. That trickles down to the mentality of black men who are not even settling down. And why we have that, there's so many different things that factor into this. But we just want to stick with the school part. I don't think we need to be pushing them directly into college. Let them take a couple community college courses. That's another thing. Go to community college your first 2 years and save yourself some money. Then enter into a university. You'll save yourself the debt. It's so many things that we have to make sure
that
before we say go, that we are educated to know what we're preaching. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Ebony, you got that millennial spirit and fire right now. I can feel it. I feel it. You like that. I can feel the pain. No, I,
yes, Lord. I joke.
No, real talk, Ebony. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for.
You.
Yeah, thank you. You're absolutely right. I think there are two different realities that are existing right here, and that people need to really listen. I think from both sides of the generation, the older and the younger, the need to come to a level of consensus and understanding about what's currently happening, especially when you have colleges that are charging $25,000, $30,000, some as high as $55,000 to $60,000 a year. Now, when I made the joke about, you know, colleges going to be on the stock market, my team, fantastic. Big shout out to my man Ty. My team is fantastic. I didn't know this was actually a consideration, folks. This was Forbes did an article back in 2017, February of 2017, to talk about the fact that for-profit colleges stocks. Yes, colleges are on the stock market. It's going to be very hard for you to convince me that colleges are not set up like businesses. And if they're set up like businesses, right, then what role is the student playing in the business? Because in this particular article, it talks about how DeVry, and back in 2017, you know the college DeVry, their stock price hit its 52-week high in January and is up 40% since Election Day. Strayer shares, which suffered a 60%. I mean, they're talking about colleges like IBM and Microsoft and Apple. So when we talk about this caring college structure, I mean, this thing goes all the way into the college experience. I mean, this level of capitalism, this level of materialism, this level of money, folks, that we need to really look at to this. It starts off the article saying the oft-scrutinized for-profit education industry may see less scrutiny in coming years, and investors are taking notice. For-profit college stocks are seeing an especially strong lift from the rising Trump tide that's boosted the broader market. Executives and investors continue to be optimistic about opportunities in the space, including increased demand for occupational training to address the workplace skills gap and rollbacks of Obama-era regulation. Did y'all hear me? Executives and investors continue to be optimistic about opportunities in the space, including increased demand for occupational training to address the workplace skills gap. They're watching to see whether regulations like the quote-unquote gainful employment rule will be de-emphasized under Secretary DeVos and President Trump. We're talking about colleges. This college thing is serious, folks. We're talking about colleges where executives and investors are looking at the collegiate landscape and saying, who's coming out? And driving the curriculum. Now, there are colleges that have actually adopted, there are companies that have actually adopted colleges. I don't know if you knew that, but they are. Companies that have adopted colleges, which is fine. You know, if you bring it, you know, they're investing. That's a level of investment. But in terms of higher education, in terms of making sure that you're producing not just employees to work for a particular company, but what about citizens to be good for a particular country? That's what I'm talking about. All right, Don, let's go to you right now because we need to hear from you. Don, what's your take on this, ma'am?
Hi. First of all, thank you for Ebony and all her energy. And I wanted to represent for Generation X since she's representing for the millennials.
Okay.
I'm somebody who went to both a PBI and I went to Georgetown for undergrad and Clark Atlanta for grad school.
Okay.
Where I had completely different experiences as it relates to loans. Mm. Got in a lot of debt at Georgetown. Had a lot more support. I will say that for me, it was worth it. I got a lot of good internship experiences while in college, and I currently work for Baltimore City Community College, which is why I'm really calling, because I wanted to just let you know about the Mayor Scholars Program. I know you mentioned it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let you know that the current mayor is very supportive. We continue to offer the Mayor Scholars Program, which makes community college free. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, listeners knew about that. And
But let me ask you a question in regards to that really quickly, Donnelly. Uh-huh. How many slots are generally open within the Mayor Scholars Program?
So right now we don't have slots because we're still just entering into year two.
Okay.
So we have not reached capacity. Let me say it that way. I don't know if you knew that BCCC had an enrollment decline that was pretty significant, as did a lot of the schools in the area. And so, you know, we're still welcoming students. I mean, right now we're not welcoming any MSP students, Mayor Scholar students, for this upcoming cohort because they should have already registered by the end of April. But, you know, for future years, you know, we certainly hope to continue.
But to take advantage of being tuition free, the students would have to go through the Mayor Scholars Program, or would they need to just be a graduate of a Baltimore City Public School?
And guess what? It got expanded beyond city schools this year. So the first year it was you had to be a public school student. This year you just have to be a graduate of a school in Baltimore and live in the city.
That's it?
A high school, yep.
Don, why you didn't have this when I went through BCCC?
I know.
Nah, Don, I'm about to let you off the phone.
And we have dual enrollment. And then think about it. For the students that aren't clear whether or not they want to go to college, we also have a lot of job training programs. And we also partner with Year Up, which is, you know, for students who are motivated. They want to kind of get their feet wet in a career and get an internship experience. We have that. And we have a whole lot of other services. So welcome you. Come check us out. And I'd love to have someone from our team be on your show one day, too, so you can learn more.
It sounds like that's you're the someone, Dawn.
I might want to be that someone.
Well, just hold on for us really quickly. Okay. And then that way you can talk to my producer, Alex Blanc. Okay. But that's good information. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Terrence. Terrence, what's your take on this whole college structures conversation, sir?
What's going on, my man?
I'm good.
First and foremost, I just want to say you kind of took exactly what I was going to say. Schools are corporations, man, and people got to kind of realize that. When you're paying for a school, you're actually paying for that school's brand. And what I mean by that, when you pay for Harvard...
Give me the generic brand, Terrence. I don't want to pay for the... I want the generic. Do you have like a Baltimore City version of...
That's my point. When you pay for Harvard, you're paying for a large part of that tuition money is for the right for you to say, I go to Harvard.
Oh, okay, like, okay. All right. I hear you. Go
same
ahead.
Same thing with Yale and Princeton and all these other schools. So what people need to understand is to find, you know, education on your economic level. Doesn't mean the education is less than. It just means that you may be, you know, buying into, you know, a smaller school. I mean, I don't care, you know, what school you go to. If you study law, law is law. Whether you learn law at Harvard or you learn law at Howard. You know what I'm saying? The laws don't change because you learned it somewhere else. And I think people need to kind of come to the realization that paying more for education doesn't guarantee you better education. So, like I said, go to the
table. I think that's absolutely, I think people are unfortunately finding out that particular truth in a very, very disappointing way when they see that, you know, it's how competitive it is. But the other thing is not just the brand, though, Terrence. It's like you also getting paying for the network, right?
Right.
There is a cost for that. But does
That's all a part of the brand. Like,
right.
You know,
if you
go to a Louis Vuitton store, you're going to pay more versus going to Marshall's. And, you know, when you go to the club with that Louis Vuitton on, you know, a couple more girls might talk to you. It's kind of like the same thing.
Well, you know what, Terrence? This is going to be interesting. Let me ask you this very quickly. So do you think that this whole idea of current college structure and curriculum, should we continue to have this narrative like go to college?
Well, the thing is, I think a lot of people get in trouble where they think, you know, a college degree is a silver bullet or a winning lottery ticket. It's not enough to just graduate from college. You got to graduate. I mean, you got to get the education and actually apply it and actually be involved. Like, speaking for myself, I got my master's in communication from Morgan. But, you know, come to find out, that's not really what got me into doing the television. It was the fact that, you know, I went out with a camera, shot some stuff, edited it, and got really good at that stuff that got my foot in the door.
Mm.
So, I mean, you can get your degree, but you got to, like you said, build your network. You got to get out in front of people. You got to participate in all types of programs.
Yeah.
That's why I love what Vogue is doing with all these partnerships
with
all these different, you know, institutions and companies. You got to be out and involved. You just can't go to class, get some grades, get a piece of paper, and think that's going to work for you, because it's not.
Absolutely. Hey, Terrence, good to hear from you, brother. Always appreciate your insight. All right, who we got on this? We got next some woman named Dr. K. She on here? Oh, it's Dr. K. My colleague, award-winning Dr. K. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm fine. I'm calling as a mom.
As a mom, because you have a son that's about to matriculate.
I do.
All right, so talk to us about the first, Dr. K. You actually are a college professor. This is not just something you play on the radio.
I teach at a PWI.
You teach at a PWI. So I know that you've heard about this anti-college movement that's in existence right now.
You got to understand, the anti-college movement is rising with people who are staggering under incredible debt. I mean, the student loan debt for my generation, I mean, Generation Xers, is incredible. We didn't know a lot about financial aid. We didn't know how to navigate the system. So many of us thought about just taking out loans. You borrowed your way through college. And then when all the studies came out, it didn't seem to pay off in the investment. A new recent study just came out that 12 years after graduating from college, white men have paid off 44% of their student loan debt. Black women have increased their student loan debt by 13% because of all the interest. So I wrestle a lot with this, Siraji, because I have a son who's getting ready to go to college. He's going to college in Memphis. We're talking about cost. And when I looked at the absolute cost of college, I was surprised to see schools at $75,000 and $76,000.
Wait a minute, Dr. K. How much is your son's college?
My son's college is not $75,000. My son's college is in the 60s. But it's still an incredible amount of money. I mean, he receives scholarships. He's a bond scholar. But when we sat and we looked at it, we said, we have to get a deal where you don't have to take out loans and we can't come out of our pocket this way. And so I would encourage parents to start negotiating between the colleges. What we did near the end, Siraji, is that we looked at what they were offering, the aid that they were offering, and we started pitting one school against the other. It was like, okay, so I've got another 1,000 over here. Can you leave that 1,000 and match it by another 200? Like, it was all like a numbers game until we were able to find the school that had given us the most amount of money to make it worth what we were given. And I think African-American parents should take into account that if you go to a PWI, you are bringing value to that school. You should take that value very seriously and use it as a negotiation tool to get the package you need for your child.
Dr. K, very quickly, how do we reconcile the larger conversation of paying for quote-unquote quality education and then for, you know, I've heard parents calling up here today that just says, I paid for it. My child went through that process and through the system, but they still, quote-unquote, not working in their field. They can't find a job. So how do we reconcile those realities that we always talk about? Go to school, doors of opportunity will swing open, and then the reality is you're in a very, very competitive workforce.
Yeah. Well, I've told my son that you can go to 1,000 colleges on this planet, but you have to make sure that the experience that you're getting is making you into the person you want to be. College is threefold, in my opinion. One, it's not just about money, but it's also about expanding who you are. That there's something about the love of the pursuit of knowledge, to be able to sit for 4 years and read and think deeply and take philosophy and economics and creative drawing. I mean, I want that piece for my son, right, so he can expand and be a more happy, healthy, whole person. A second real point of college is that what is it preparing you to do? Okay, what is going to be your skill? What is your career? And what is your hustle? What can you do, even if you get that degree and there's no job in your field? What's your hustle? What are your talents that nobody can teach you, but people can help you build on them? Use college to figure that out. And the third thing, internships, study abroad. Use this as an experience to learn about what it means to fail up. College is also a safety net. You can go abroad. You can do an internship. You can work with a professor. You have one time in your life where people are focused on helping you be better. Make sure you get what you need. Advocate for yourself. Speak up. And you need to understand that in the college process, you are the consumer. Are you getting what you need for the money that you're paying?
And how about colleges being businesses? Is this a direction that's showing that we're going in the right direction? Or is this a sign that there are some real work that needs to be done?
we're going in the absolute wrong direction, Faraji. What we're doing right now is we're moving back to a time when college is only going to be for the people who can write the checks, and that is the problem with this country. We've got to figure out a way. There are a number of presidential candidates who have a way. Anybody who's talking about forgiving all student loan debt, they definitely have my vote, because we're going in the wrong direction. I mean, everyone can expect a billionaire to come and give your commencement address and pay off your tuition. That's not going to happen. So what can we do differently? Is it Berea College or Ozarks, where it's free and you work?
Yeah.
Is it going to a community college and doing 2 years there and then going to another institution? If you go to Harvard, if you make less than $150, Harvard's going to be free for you anyway.
Wow.
So schools are figuring it out. I tell my son, you have one job in these last 4 years of high school, one job only. You need to have the grades to get you the opportunities where you don't have to pay for college.
There it
because
is.
The better your grades are, the better your SAT. You don't have these student loan conversations. You don't.
Yeah, that's what it is. Dr. K, Dr.
Thank
K.
Thank you so much, Faraji.
Hey, thank you so much.
All
right, yeah, absolutely. Black mommy activist in the building. Well, she's on the phone. Dr. K. Whitehead, host of Today with Dr. K, award-winning talk radio show. Thank you so much, Dr. K, for ending us out on a strong, strong note. Look, folks, we're going to continue to see how this situation is. But I love what Dr. K said. She said, you have one time where people around you actually work for you. Take advantage of it. I love that. This conversation about anti-college, the anti-college movement, I think is something that should be looked at, folks. I think we should look at it. And I think that it's time for us to challenge our tradition, to challenge what we have been traditionally taught and challenge what we have been traditionally told about the college experience. And to ask the bigger question, is this for me? Is this for me? Is this experience for me? Is this educational goal for me? Is this for me? Oh, my goodness. Big conversation. We're going to certainly continue to talk about those things. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on air and online. I want to thank my dynamic production team, Ms. Mallory Thinker, Pierre, Alex Blanc, Dre Day, for making me sound so good. Also, got to let you know, WEAA, we will be down at the Universal Circus tomorrow night. That's right. We're going to be down at the circus tomorrow night. Broadcasting live, yours truly, along with my big sister LaDawn Black from In the Groove. We will be down there tomorrow, and we will have the great opportunity to honor some of Baltimore's own. We will do live reports from Universe Soul Circus, interviewing the acts and people. Our special honorees will be Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby and Baltimore Celebrity Music Executive Mr. Kevin Lyles. WEAA will be out here. That's right, in the community at Universal Circus tomorrow evening, broadcasting live on WEAA, your award-winning station. All right, so that's going to be happening tomorrow night. All right, folks, thank you so much for checking in. Up next is In the Groove with my big sister, LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz, neo-soul, and R&B for your Monday night, so stick around for that. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right, while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow for another exciting edition of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. And remember, folks, and remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. See you at the circus tomorrow night at Universal Circus. For WEAA Live at the circus. We'll be seeing you then. Talk to you. Peace.